Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is 81 degrees, 410 on this Thursday, April 24th, 2025. How's everybody doing? Thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us, if you've been here for the ride for the first hour, then stay with us for the next 2 hours. We got a hell of a show for you. Got a text message in from our friend Joe from Trips Park. So according to the news, consumers fear recession, but also the Nintendo Switch sold out before it hit stores. Okay. Funny how that works, huh? I wonder if we're going to get a bailout for Nintendo Switch owners. I put it on my credit card and I couldn't afford it, but I had to have it, and you deserve to pay for it for me because I needed a Nintendo Switch. It's a necessity. It's a human right to have a Nintendo Switch. I don't truly even know what a Nintendo Switch is. Shows how much out of the game I am. So this story truly aggravated me. And it's unfortunate that it's not unbelievable. Maryland school suspends a Marine hopeful high school student after American flag law controversy. So the Baltimore County Public School System, now Baltimore County is separate from the city of Baltimore. They are two separate entities. They are next to each other, but Baltimore County has its own school system, has its own police department, has, you know, they are separate entities. It would sort of be like the city of Scranton and the Lackawanna County, although Lackawanna County doesn't have its own police department. But the Baltimore County Public School System has allegedly suspended a high school student after he pushed the school to hang American flags in two of his classrooms that did not have flag displays as required by state law. Now, I did look into this. Maryland state law does state that in every classroom, the American flag will be displayed. So that's the law. And if you don't agree with the law, if you want to be a left-leaning state, then change the law. Well, we just didn't get around to it, or it wasn't a priority. Well, then, okay, well, then abide the law. Abide the law. That's just the way it is. And I applaud this young man for doing his research, finding out that, hey, this is required by law, and I'm going to take a stand for it. Parker Jensen, an 18-year-old Marine Corps enlistee, so he's already signed it up for the Marine Corps as soon as he graduates, has since sued the school district, arguing he was wrongfully suspended for voicing his concerns about the flags at the Townsend High School north of Baltimore City. The flags were missing from two of his classrooms as he approached the Baltimore Board of Education about this issue. He really thought there'd be something that could be resolved easily. He said he was looking forward to finishing out his senior year. Jensen's attorney stated he's definitely discouraged that the school took this route in the way they retaliated and punished him. And it did put a big damper on his senior year. At this point, he's still not allowed to go to prom. He still has teachers that he knows do not like him and could affect his grades and affect his ability to graduate. The issue began in February when Jensen, also the quarterback and captain of the Townsend High School football team, noticed that two of his classrooms were missing American flags despite the fact that Maryland state law mandates that flags need to be in all public school classrooms. I applaud that law. But again, if politicians, if the school board does not agree with it, petition to have the law changed. This experience has impacted me personally in both positive and negative ways, Jensen told reporters. On the negative side, I was suspended and trespassed unlawfully from the district building, had my character unfairly defamed by my administration, and was treated poorly by my teacher upon returning to school. These moments were difficult and disheartening. However, on the positive side, I believe my persistence in standing up for patriotism may have opened others' eyes to the importance of patriotism in our school system, Jensen stated. At the end of the day, I believe it was beneficial, not just for me, but for the entire school community. It serves as a reminder that this is our responsibility as citizens to hold our government accountable, and I believe I did just that within my school. Jensen approached his school assistant principal about the issue in February. Now look at the progression here. He approaches his school assistant principal in February. It went unresolved. Then he brought it up again in March. Jensen said he received no response as of March 28th. That's when he approached the Baltimore Board of Education about the issue. BCPS has told the media in a statement that it had no comment on lawsuits, but noted that Townsend High School was already in the process of placing flags in those classrooms and that the claims and inaction were inaccurate. Well, it just said that the flags aren't there. You're in the process of placing the flags. Jensen visited the board's office in person in March 28th to file a formal complaint during its regular business hours, the lawsuit states. Jensen signed in as a visitor and recorded his action with supervisors during his visit to the office, according to the complaint, which notes that there were no signs prohibiting recording, and Jensen had the right to record in a public building. A supervisor emerged from behind the secure glass door and asked the plaintiff if he was recording. Plaintiff confirmed that he was, asserting that it's his constitutional right to do so. The supervisor demanded that the student stop recording and leave the building, despite his presence in a public area and lack of disruptive behavior. Plaintiff declined to leave, citing his right to be in a public building and file a complaint. Approximately 5 minutes later, police officers, five of them, arrived responding to a call from board staff, Board of Education staff. The five officers who responded to the scene apparently told Jensen he needed to be a credentialed journalist to record in a school board building. That's couldn't be further from the truth. They had the police escort him out. The police also made statements that only reporters can film within the property, which is completely false as per the attorney handling the case. They lied to him and basically said that this was his doing, was unlawful, when he really had every right to do what he did. In the video, Jensen could be heard saying, three cop cars for a kid, five cops. He turns to one of the responding officers and asks, do you think this is a waste of resources, sir? This is all recorded. To which the officer shakes his head, no. Townsend school high school principal Kimberly Cummingson allegedly called Jensen's mother on March 28th, saying that her son was unhinged, disrespectful, and was impersonating a journalist and would be arrested and suspended, the complaint reads. Baltimore County Public School officials then barred Jensen from all BCPS, the Baltimore County Public School Central Office properties, with the school district citing his disruptive and threatening behavior and suspended the high school senior until April 8th, the complaint says. Plaintiff received no hearing or opportunity to contest the suspension before it was imposed. The lawsuit says the lawsuit further accuses the school district of retaliating against Jensen's expression of his First Amendment rights, violating his 14th Amendment rights, and defamation. He argues in the complaint that his high school has promoted T-shirts showing LGBTQA pride flags and posted flyers showing immigration support and resources information, all while suspending Jensen for demanding American flags in a classroom and the right to pledge allegiance as required by Maryland law, and he is suspended. He faced retaliation for championing the military and a secure border and for defending those actions. As his lawsuit details, Jensen's school pushes every left-wing cause while punishing him for honoring an American flag and expressing his right to honor it. It's going to be interesting to see where this lawsuit goes because there is so much wrong here. And again, I understand this is a side of the story. A lot of it is recorded. Some of it has been played. I can't see on its face value where the student didn't do everything right. He went to his assistant principal, heard nothing. Went back to his assistant principal, heard nothing. Went to the school board, heard nothing. Showed up at the district office to file a complaint. And then they tell him you have to be a credentialed journalist to record it. First of all, I've never heard such a thing anywhere. Wouldn't it be to say, and they're in the process now, as this story was written, they're in the process now of replacing those flags. Wouldn't it be the right thing to do to say, hey, we ordered the flags. We're in the process of getting them up there. We assure you that this will be taken care of. But these school districts, especially when it comes to their students, think, listen, I've dealt with it myself with my own kids in the school district, to where I had a principal wave her hand at me and say, we're done here. The arrogance as they try to rewrite the law, because that was one of the other things she tried to do, which you know, got my attention, which is why she thought she could wave at me like a student and tell me we're done here. It didn't work out too well for her because the superintendent ended up having her reverse her decision within a minute and a half. But here's a student, captain of the football team. I don't know him for his character. I'm sure there's a lot of captain of football teams in school districts who are arrogant little pricks. But here's a student who was the captain of the football team. He is supposed to be a leader in his school community. That's what his job is. He is already signed up to enlist in the Marines upon graduation. He wants to serve his country. He's saying, and doing the research as a student, which any school district should be happy for, to say, hey, Maryland law, I looked into this. I was able to do my research. I could cite you the source as well. Maryland law says you have to have an American flag in each classroom. You do not. I'd like you to correct this problem. And again, if the problem is so burdensome on our school districts in Maryland, then the Maryland legislature should change the law. But until it does, they are in the wrong. And because he takes it up the level and they do nothing, he takes it up another level, they do nothing, complains to the school board, they do nothing, and then he shows up at the school district offices recording because he's gotten nothing done in the past 2 months. They lie to him, make up laws saying you can't record in here unless you're a credentialed journalist, and then have him trespassed from his own school district building and suspend him, barring him from graduation activities like the prom. Could be graduation itself, although this doesn't say that, but I know our local school districts bar people from graduation for being suspended or behavior issues. And possibly jeopardizing his service in the military. I hope this school district, these individuals, they go after personally as well as an entity and prove a point here. This is starting to gain traction with the national media. This is coming from the New York Post here, where I got the story. I also spoke to some people who are military members in the Baltimore County Police Department who said that this is abhorrent and the school district is about as radical as they come. So it's not unexpected, and I lean towards believing the 18-year-old who's looking to serve his country. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Well, it looks like the Vatican has their own Congressman Santos. Remember Congressman Santos, the New York congressman who was arrested for fraud and kicked out of Congress and removed? Well, it looks like there's a cardinal in the same boat, a convicted fraudster cardinal stripped of his papal conclave voting rights, insists on participating as Pope Francis lies in state. A cardinal convicted of fraud and embezzlement by the Vatican and designated as a non-elector is demanding he be allowed to participate in the process to elect the next pontiff. As thousands of mourning faithful line up to pay their last respects to Pope Francis in Rome. Cardinal Giovanni Angelo Becciua, 76, was investigated for taking part in an investment scheme involving property in London, which wound up costing the church tens of millions of dollars. Upon his conviction by a Vatican tribunal of judges, he was ordered to serve 5.5 years jail sentence and personally ordered by the late Pope Francis to resign the rights and privileges of his position in 2020. It was a spectacular fall from grace for the cardinal, who once held a lofty position of societo, substitute, in the Holy See Secretariat of State, effectively the chief of staff for the Pope, becoming the first cardinal ever convicted by the Vatican's own criminal court in 2023. His role even afforded him walk-in privileges to see the Pope when he was active. After his conviction, he was also accused of using Vatican funds to bribe witnesses. Cardinal George Pell, whose conviction was overturned in 2020 after spending 13 months in prison in Australia. Vatican prosecutors compiled a dossier of evidence that showed the cardinal wired more than $800,000 to help sway the testimony against the case, charges he vehemently denied. The cardinal maintains his innocence and is in the process of appealing his fraud conviction, during which he's been allowed to live in his Vatican apartment. Although the Holy See's press office now designates him as a non-elector, the cardinal claims there was no explicit will to exclude me from the conclave, nor a request for my explicit reunification in writing in an interview with a local newspaper. Being stripped of his rights as a cardinal didn't officially boot him from the College of Cardinals, the body of 135 eligible cardinals who will take part in the conclave when it begins in the next few weeks. This means he's still eligible to participate in the pre-conclave discussions, which have already begun. Whether he's allowed to participate will likely be decided by Giovanni Battista Re, the dean of the College of Cardinals, and Cardinal Pietro Parolin, who is tasked with overseeing the conclave proceedings. So it looks like even in the Vatican, they have their own George Santos. Can't make it up, but hopefully it happens swiftly. The mere fact that he was convicted and still allowed to live in his apartment in the Vatican is something else. It's 4:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point in time in the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice. On this day, we have four law enforcement officers who made the ultimate sacrifice in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We're going to start off with policeman William Bunker Hinchcliffe, Philadelphia Police Department, 1935, on this day, April 24th. Officer Hinchcliffe was killed when he lost control of his motorcycle at the intersection of Belgrade Street and Orthodox Street while chasing a speeder. He served with the Philadelphia Police Department for 4 years, was survived by his wife and two sons. Next, we have policeman Thomas Brady, Philadelphia Police Department, 1922. Policeman Thomas Brady was struck and killed by a car while directing traffic at 63rd Street and Washington Street. He was a 25-year veteran of the force. Next is Detective Harry E. Tucker of the Philadelphia Police Department, 1915. Detective Harry Tucker and Detective James Manley were shot and killed by a 21-year-old man they had just arrested on a fugitive warrant. The man was wanted for burglary in Princeton, New Jersey, and a robbery of a residence at 52nd Street and Winfield Avenue. They located the man near 58th Street and Woodland Avenue and placed him under arrest. As they were escorting the prisoner to the police call box, he produced a revolver and shot both officers. The man was arrested a short time later and charged with murder. Detective Tucker subsequently died of his wounds on April 24, 1915. The subject was convicted of 2 counts of murder and executed in the electric chair on July 17, 1916. Detective Tucker served with the Philadelphia Police Department for over 12 years. He was survived by his wife and 7 children. Then we have Police Officer John Stack, Pittsburgh Bureau of Police, in 1872. He succumbed to injuries sustained the previous day when he was brutally attacked from behind while on duty at Smithfield Street near 4th Avenue. Approximately 10 minutes before the incident, Officer Stack had cleared from the scene of a fire with another officer and entered a restaurant to eat. As he left the restaurant to go back to his beat, he was attacked by at least 3 men, sustained several blows to the back of his head, resulting in a fractured skull. He was discovered in the middle of the street shortly after the incident by other officers and taken to his home in the 100 block of 3rd Avenue. Due to the nature of injuries, he was taken to the Western Pennsylvania Hospital, where he died the following day. The owner of the restaurant and 2 other suspects were arrested and charged with his murder. On June 14th of 1872, charges were dropped against all 3 after a jury trial. Shortly before the trial, a material witness mysteriously left town but returned to town the same day charges were dropped in court. The witness was arrested and detained as a defaulting witness and gave a statement to the court that he was left town with his family to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and New York City. He claimed he was given no indication about when the trial was taking place and did not feel he was an important witness. Again, this was 1872. And those are our 4 heroes from today on this day, April 24th, throughout history. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show in just a minute.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. On this Thursday, April 24th, 2025, it's time for Today in History. Because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? On this day, April 24th, we have a bunch of notable and significant events. Let's see, 1800, the establishment of the Library of Congress. President John Adams signed legislation to create the Library of Congress, allocating $5,000 for the purchase of books. It has since grown to the largest library in the world, housing millions of items across various formats. Could you imagine that? Back in 1800, $5,000 to establish the Library of Congress. There was some fiduciary duty back then, I assume, don't you think? 1980, the failed Iran hostage rescue mission. That was called Operation Eagle Claw, a U.S. military operation aimed at rescuing 52 hostages in the Tehran, ended in disaster when a helicopter and transport plane collided in the Iranian desert, resulting in the deaths of 8 American service members. 1990, the launch of the Hubble Space Telescope. NASA's Space Shuttle Discovery deployed the Hubble Space Telescope into Earth's orbit, making a significant advancement in space exploration and astronomy, and it's still, 34 years later, still providing us data and much-needed research. 1995, the final Unabomber attack. The last known bombing by the Unabomber, Theodore Kaczynski, occurred in Sacramento, California, killing Gilbert B. Murray. Kaczynski was later arrested and sentenced to multiple life terms in prison. We have some notable birthdays today. Barbara Streisand, 1942. Renowned American singer, actress, and filmmaker, Streisand has won multiple awards, including Oscars, Grammys, over her illustrious career. And Kelly Clarkson, 1982, more recent phenomena, American singer-songwriting who rose to fame as the first winner of American Idol and has since enjoyed a successful music career and television career. Some additional U.S. history notes. In 1943, the El Estro ship fire in New York Harbor. A fire broke out on the ammunition ship El Estro while docked in New York Harbor. The incident posed a significant threat, but the fire was contained, preventing a potential large-scale disaster within New York Harbor. You have to realize this was right at the heart of World War II, and you can imagine what that ship was carrying, being an ammunition ship. So a disaster averted thanks to the quick thinking of my brethren, the New York City Fire Department and the emergency crews that were there. And again, that's Today in History on this day, April 24th on WILK News Radio. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show and more just after this. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Beautiful day outside today. So, The Office star Rainn Wilson, who played Dwight on the sitcom The Office, slammed left-leaning media outlets for causing the public to lose trust in President Donald Trump and Elon Musk while being cheerleaders for the Biden administration. Wilson, again, who played the ambitious Dwight on the hit show, voiced his complaints to MSNBC anchor Stephanie Ruhle during an interview with her on his Soul Boom podcast Tuesday. He said left-wing outlets like MSNBC were in denial in their coverage of Biden, flattering mental acuity and issues important to voters like inflation, illegal immigration, but are now overly negative in their coverage of Trump and the White House. This is where I would push back. When I see this kind of insight and passion being directed at the current administration and the lack of this kind of insight and passion being directed at the previous administration, Wilson said. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about left-leaning news media organizations. We're kind of like, la, 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 everything is fine under the Biden administration. Look, the economy is great, la, la, la. Immigration, not that much of a problem. And really being Cleopatra, queen of denial. Kind of funny coming from Dwight, huh? Rule claimed that Trump, along with Musk, who owns X, are to blame for the loss in trust in the media. Typical MSNBC talking points. Losing that trust is not by accident. It's by design. If you remember when President Trump was running the first term, Steve Bannon once said, "The goal is to blow the whole thing up," said the host of The 11th Hour. The news media is, in my opinion, the last line of defense of holding power accountable. Yeah, it's pretty unique when Dwight from The Office is calling out left-leaning media like MSNBC, and they just don't see it. They don't see it today. They think it's their job to hold truth to power when it comes to this administration, but yet walk through the past 4 years with blinders on, not discussing an issue. It took an actor, George Clooney, to come out and finally say that this guy's just not the same, and he cannot do this anymore. We cannot do this anymore as Democrats. And the media still carried that water until finally, you know, other politicians like Nancy Pelosi said, you know, I guess you're right. But when you're being called out by Dwight from The Office as not doing your job, that's pretty funny to say the least. And it's interesting because it kind of fits into his character in The Office. Now, I was not really a big Office fan while it was running in real time, while it was, airing week to week. But afterwards, you know, I became accustomed to it during the reruns. And it's interesting that someone with a character like, and I understand he's just playing a role. You have to also have to realize that a lot of these people in media are just playing a role. And a lot of politicians, unfortunately, this day and age, are playing roles. But he hit the nail on the head. You have to really wonder. He's not wrong. He's not wrong at all. You have a media that is attacking everything. You have a justice system that's attacking everything right now. When, for the past 4 years, when it came to illegal migration, they had blinders on. When it came to holding the president accountable, they had blinders on. When it came accountable to holding the president when he was changing the definition of asylum and increasing this problem that is costing every single taxpayer in America, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Socialist, Communist, I don't care what you are, your taxes went up because of illegal immigration. You are paying more because of illegal immigration. Our Social Security, our Medicare, our Medicaid, our safety net programs that they hold so dear to their hearts are all further in jeopardy because they allowed the Biden administration to act unfettered, unchecked by the media. And yes, the media has always played an important role in holding government accountable, holding officials accountable, holding entities accountable. That's why you have news organizations that have like this network on your side where you were wronged by a business or you were scammed, and they'd go and basically pressure that business to do the right thing because they were afraid of the negative publicity. Politicians in the past were afraid of negative publicity. They were afraid of being called out for their lies. The internet makes this so much more magnified because you can't hide behind your lies anymore. Joe Biden was a prime example of that. He tried to hide behind his lies and just couldn't because there was actually video of him saying these things. There's audio of him saying these things. Now, you could do that 50 years ago. You could do that 40 years ago. You could go to different parts of the country and say different things, and it rarely transcended to those new locations, where this day and age, it's a whole new ballgame. But the media, instead of holding accountable officials to do better jobs, our elected officials specifically, but they've become complicit in pushing agendas. They have chosen sides. No doubt. And in response to them choosing sides, you have entities like myself on this station that have to tell the other side of that story because they are so far over the top holding water for those who they approve of, quote, air quotes. So it's unfortunate that I have to take time to tell the other side of that story rather than just bringing you the day-to-day news. But that's where we're at. But when Dwight from The Office is calling you out as what you are, you might want to look at where your future might hold. And if you look at the ratings, a lot of these stations like MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CNN even, are not doing so well. So are the people buying it, or are they just being useful idiots? We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show in just a minute.